Thank you for downloading this podcast from the BBC. I'm Hedi Namin Aziz, and in this edition of Assignment, I'm in Kalundborg in Denmark. You may never have heard of Kalundborg, but the pharmaceutical drug it's making is taking the world by storm.
In a small Danish town, something big is brewing. And it's not a new plant for its internationally famous beer, Carlsberg. I'm in Kalundborg, home to just 16,000 people, but also one of Europe's biggest building sites.
Kalundborg has been producing drugs for the pharmaceutical industry for more than 50 years. But the soaring demand for one in particular, the weight loss drug Wegovy, has turned the manufacturer into a huge multinational. This company, called Novo Nordisk, last year became the most valuable firm in Europe, with a stock price value of an eye-watering $500 billion. But this program is not about the company nor its products. It's about what happens when a small industrial town gets a huge new plant requiring thousands of workers from around the world, which will dwarf everything else around it.
My name is Martin Dam. I'm the mayor of the municipality of Kalundborg. I have a lot of cranes in my back, and the area it covers equals more than 236 football pitches. So it's a big area.
I'm Hedi Namin Aziz, and you're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. And in this edition of Assignment, I want to find out what happens when a working-class town does the equivalent of winning the lottery. But will the town be able to attract and keep the hundreds of foreign and Danish workers it needs to make Wegovy in the quantities people are demanding?
You've been mayor for 15 years. It's going to change your town out of all recognition, isn't it?
This is changing the town in different ways, because you will have some factories, you can see that, but also the demand for new houses, new shops coming up.
So a lot of changes, but for the better or for the worse?
I think that all the changes is for the better, because in all Europe, people are moving from the rural area into the big cities. And this is going the opposite way. This is the little city who attract big investment.
Would you say this is a gold rush town?
It's more than $9 billion is an ongoing investment right now. We have more than 1,000 new jobs every year added to the area.
So that's a yes. You had a huge smile on your face.
Yes.
Novo Nordisk isn't the only big employer in Kalundborg. Historically, relatively cheap land and a pool of workers used to working in industry have attracted firms, including an oil refinery and other factories. But the success of Novo Nordisk is towering over them all, even though the mayor seems to want to play down its importance.
We have some big companies who are successful on the world market, and they want to expand their production capacity.
But it's one company we're really talking about, isn't it?
One of the big investments are from Novo Nordisk, but also other companies are invested in Kalundborg.
Novo Nordisk is the world's biggest supplier for insulin used to treat type 1 diabetes. And it makes the drug Ozempic for other diabetes sufferers. But it's Wegovy, the specific weight loss drug, which is probably its most famous product now. So can you just give us a really short history of the company? It's been here for 50 years, but when did the boom time begin?
The big boom was started about 2021. Novo Nordisk, they are producing a lot of type of insulin. They are producing Ozempic for both weight loss.
But when I asked the mayor to discuss Wegovy, he didn't want to. Well, I'm thinking you can explain that and just mention Wegovy as well, just as one of the facts.
I'm not fond of that, because they have to explain their own story. Sorry.
Where are the construction workers from?
So we have a lot of international workforce temporary in Kalundborg right now. It's about 5,500 building the new factories here. There's not enough skilled people in Denmark, so we have to attract people from abroad. They are coming from all over the world, so they are both from Denmark and India.
So some of these 5,000 plus workers have already traveled thousands of miles to this small Danish town, a place they would never have heard of until they were hired. It is a struggle to accommodate them all, so many have to commute in and out of the town each day. For those who manage to find housing close by, there's not a great deal to do in their spare time, apart from a few restaurants and cafes. Unless, of course, you play sport.
He's not a proper baller. He's a fun cricketer.
I just saw a ball fly higher than I've seen a plane fly in a long time.
Tanuj and his friends are from all over India. They are contractors helping to build the new Novo Nordisk plants. Tanuj has been in Kalamboa a year. The thing that unites them all, cricket.
They're so intensely concentrated that I feel like I'm watching something really important. How did this team come about?
You know, like India is a religion for cricket. It's our passion also. Apart from work, we don't have anything to do. So for daily activity, keeping ourselves physically fit and active, on the weekdays, we go to gym for an hour. And then on the weekend, we gather around together with some 10-15 people, and then we organize a cricket game.
So and you guys couldn't find anything else to do in your free time and decided to start something of your own?
Yeah, what else we could have done? Maybe a little bit of beer or go outside the beach area, sit alone. So we thought of starting a cricket game over here. Every weekend we are playing.
Look at that Danish woman, like, looking back in awe. I bet they get a lot of funny reactions doing this.
This is not a proper pitch. We are just playing on the road. Some people will come and ask the rules.
Is this your first time working outside of India?
Yes, actually, and really good to be here in Denmark.
Did you arrive in the winter or the summer?
Actually, I arrived at the start of summer, and these guys came in winter.
Yeah.
Was there a difference of impressions?
Yeah. We start the day with being night, and we come out the office also being night. So that's the difference.
We tried playing in the winter, but the grounds were frozen just for fun, and we tried to play, but that was very difficult.
And have you been able to pick up any Danish language?
Few words.
Can you say a few?
Tak.
That's a good one.
Many traders in the town speak English, so being able to say tak, that's thank you in Danish, would probably be enough to get you by for a while. The mayor was keen to point out when I spoke to him earlier that many store owners in Kalamboa are prospering. Apparently, hot dog sellers are coining it in, as is the local supermarket. But is the wealth being generated by Novo Nordisk's extraordinary success reaching everyone? I'm off to the movies because the owner of the town's cinema is also the head of the local traders association.
Oh, wow. Very cozy with sofas and a lot of posters, a big popcorn thing. Yeah, it's a really cute cinema.
Thank you.
My name is Brian Anderson and I own this cinema, Kino the Blue Angel.
This is like a proper,
yeah,
big cinema room.
Yeah, and it was actually built in 1952.
You're showing us some local ads from some companies. So are they all prospering because of the success of the town?
No, they're not all getting benefit from it, no.
But this should be a boom town with everyone benefiting.
Yeah, but in the supermarket, they have benefit because all the workers have to buy food, bakery, but not the clothes dealer and the shoe dealers. I don't think they benefited.
People don't buy shoes and clothes here?
Yeah, they do. But workers live at the hotel, work all day, and go back to the hotel. So now we have to hope that some of the people, they want to settle down and have some families and kids.
Are some of your members resentful that they're not seeing the benefits as they're seeing the rest of the town changing and they're not really gaining anything from it? Is that frustrating to them?
Yeah, it is. But actually, the most frustration is that Novo is offering new jobs for the school teachers, or the mechanics, or the hairdressers, or the people who take care of the kids. And it leaves the owner of the small shops alone because they can't get any people to work from them because there's more money to get a job out at the Novo. There's just now one mechanic here in the city. He announced that he's going to close it here at the new year. He don't want to do it anymore. He's three mechanics behind every day. He needs three mechanics, and I can't get any because they all go out to work at Novo Nordisk.
Brian Sunder Andersen says other big Danish companies like Lego, based in the Danish town of Billund, have been more willing to invest in their hometown than Novo Nordisk has in Kalundborg.
The town doesn't really seem to publicly celebrate Novo Nordisk, and it's not that visible other than the construction side. Is there a separation between the town and Novo Nordisk?
Yeah, you can say that. If you go to other places in Denmark, as you know, Lego in Billund, it's almost Lego Billund, and they are using a lot of money in the local community. I would think it could be in their interest to support the local stores, to support the local community as well. And then this small money, they can do a big difference.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Hedi Namin Aziz on assignment in Denmark.
It's not just the lack of local services in some areas which might deter people from moving to Kalundborg. Anyone relocating here with kids will look closely at how good the local schools are. I'm with Helle Lauesen Petersen, a member of the Regional Council for the Conservative Party.
You have to go to the end of this road and there is a school I like to show you. You just have to go straight in there, in the schoolyard. Actually, right now, we are in the school playground.
What do you think about the play area?
This is the play area, right?
It is.
It took me a moment to realize it was the play area. There's like a few swings and that's about it. I think it looks quite terrible. It just looks kind of depressing. Looks kind of like an abandoned building.
It's a very old school. It's from 1955. You could be in Russia, right? This is where the kids are when they're not in having classes. Very depressing. I don't want my kids to go here. Before you want to settle somewhere, you will look at the school. And if you saw that, you will take one of the other cities around here and say, well, we will live there and then I can drive to Kalundborg to work.
And that's what many people currently do. Some schools in the town do have modern facilities. But Helle Lauesen Petersen says that school results in Kalundborg in core subjects like Danish and maths are below average for Denmark as a whole.
Nordisk, they really don't need people with higher education, not in their production plans, and that's what we got here. So people here are not very highly educated, and that's maybe also why that the schools aren't so good.
Obesity rates in Denmark are generally lower than for some other northern European countries, including the UK. But still, Kalundborg is in the highest 5% of Danish towns when it comes to overweight children.
Here in Kalundborg, the health profile is the second lowest in the region. So people here are not very healthy. The people are very overweight. That's a paradox, right?
It does sound kind of ironic.
Exactly. But we are overweight.
In order to lose weight, one option is to change your diet or exercise more. I come from Holbæk, another small Danish town, and our football stadium is a big focal point. We're driving to the home of the local football club, FC Kalundborg, to see what that's like.
This is the stadium, and I think it was built right after the Second World War, and nothing has changed.
Do a lot of people watch these games? Because I can only spot one or two benches.
No.
And that's it.
No.
Okay.
Because there's nothing here. And I think that's too bad because we are not very healthy. So this could be a place to start. And if we have some nice facilities, maybe more kids would go here. Maybe they would bring their parents. But this is what you get.
In Holbæk. It's a huge thing. Everyone gathers to watch every match, and you almost have to fight to find a seat, even though there's seats all around the field.
And I think that we could get the same here if we get a nice stadium.
And the goalkeeper, Facundo, you can put the glove.
The club pitch may not be anything to write home about, but there are still plenty of places for local football teams to train. One of them I've heard now has so many South Americans playing for them, they would put Manchester City or Real Madrid to shame.
My name is Andres. I've been here for almost 6 years in Kalundborg, and I started in the team since the very beginning, 2019. I was working in Colombia, and I decided to start my master degree in Italy. And from Italy, I contacted Novo Nordisk, and I'm working in Novo Nordisk as a process engineer.
So take us back to when you first arrived here. Is the team any different compared to now? Is it more international now?
I remember the first training. I was the only international. The trainings actually were in Danish, so I had to introduce myself to Danish very, very fast, yes. Nowadays, you can see we have people from everywhere, Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, Poland, Ukraine. Kalundborg have been changing pretty fast. Nowadays, it's still changing, and it's becoming more international.
So do you see yourself staying here for the long term? Could you imagine settling down here?
I mean, I have been here for almost 6 years. I have my dog. I bought a house. So, yes. The only thing is the language. I have been a bit lazy with it.
Jeg kan ikke tage en dansk.
Jo, du kan. Ja. Jeg kan høre det. That's good.
Yeah. I started studying Danish last year.
Yeah.
One player who normally turns out for the team was injured. He's come from a city of 500,000 people to a town of 16,000. And I've heard his wife has an unusual story to tell about settling into life here.
My name is Miguel Oliveira. I'm a Brazilian. I'm an HSC advisor, health, safety, environment. I work here in Denmark. My wife is Amanda, and we have two kids living with us, Miguel, my son, and Manuela. Amanda doesn't speak English, and of course Danish.
Yeah.
Amazing, because she applied to the position, and she was very honest and clear with them, because she used a lot of apps to help in the communication in a daily basis. So she wrote to them. She could communicate with the translators. So she went there for an interview, and she got the job.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty fearless. Yeah. I think I'd be really nervous going into any field or kind of job if I didn't know the language.
So I asked Miguel to ask Amanda in Portuguese how she felt about arriving in Denmark speaking neither Danish nor English.
Na verdade, eu acho que eu fiquei com medo, assim, né? A gente não...
We didn't know anything at all. I have never even heard of Denmark. So for us, it was all very new. We started researching a lot on YouTube. I think it was the fear of a new language, of a new climate, totally different from what we are used to in Brazil. When we needed to go shopping or go out somewhere, it was quite scary because we had to translate everything.
And then there's the issue of when their children speak better Danish than they do.
Yeah, another challenge that we're going to have is regarding the language, because at some point they will start talking to each other in Danish or in English. I'm planning to learn Danish as well, but she is willing to first learn completely the English, and after she will try to learn Danish.
Do you think you'll stay here for a long time and maybe see the kids through school?
I think it's for the children, for the opportunity to study, for education. Because in Brazil, we don't have the facilities that we have here. So we're changing our lifestyle and the direction of our lives for our children.
Our plan now is stay for long term. At least have the kids in the university. Even if Denmark is an older country than Brazil, we realize here a lot of opportunities. So it was like what motivated us.
So it sounds like the mayor's hopes of some workers settling down in the town is seeing some success with Miguel and Amanda. And the town is not without some charm, as I discovered when I met Mayor Martin Damm again at Kalundborg's most famous landmark.
We are in the old medieval city center in Kalundborg, and we have a very old history, and we are sitting in front of the beautiful five-tower church. I think there is only one in the world of them. The story goes back to 1167, when Kalundborg was founded.
Kalundborg has had two boom times before the success of Novo Nordisk. First came shipbuilding in the 1920s, and then in the 60s, something rather different, which transformed the lives of local women. And it was all about hairstyles.
In the 60s, we have a man, and he invented the Carmen curlers. If you have to curl your hair, at that time, women had to use 2 or 3 hours to have the hair curled. And he invented something could do it in 10 minutes. So that curlers was produced in Kalundborg. And in 6 years, there were 3,500 people employed making curlers for the whole world. It was a culture that when the women could have their own job, they was not dependent by the men. they earned more than their husband, so they could be free. And they got divorced, too. Yeah. So
that sounds pretty amazing.
Yes, and then the hair fashion chain, and it was closing down.
So this is the town's third boom, really.
I think that in English it's called the third time is the lucky one.
So what about the practicalities? So a lot of people could move here. Is there a danger that people of lower incomes could be sort of priced out of the housing market?
Yes, there could. Right now, there's a big pressure on rented flats and houses. But I think we have calculated there are more than 1,000 new houses coming up alone in the city of Kalundborg for the next 2 or 3 years.
So we went to a few of the schools, and I was actually quite shocked when I looked at the state of some of them. The first one we went to, it kind of looked abandoned, like it was this kind of sad building, red bricks.
Yes, I think it was kind of a cherry picking. You were the
person. But we actually went to a few schools.
Yes, we have 18. So I can show you other schools, and we have a program when we are renovating the schools.
So the town has a really high child obesity rate, which is kind of ironic when you think about the drug Wegovy. That's a drug to make people lose weight. Oh, but why is it so high?
It's about social challenges. Yes, and we are in the top five of municipality in Denmark with social challenges. You can see it on a map.
Do you think it's about money or is it about the way people think? I mean, a lot of money is going to come into the town. Is that going to make a difference?
For some, it is. But if you take the education level, it could explain almost everything. So if you have a lot of people who don't have more education, you will see more social problems. The population living in the Kalundborg area, we have some area with very cheap houses. So people who are not having a job or anything, they are attracted by very cheap houses moving outside Copenhagen to the area. Their children, there are some challenges. It takes generations to get up off the ladder.
And some children in Kalundborg are as bright and as ambitious as any you'd meet in the Danish capital, Copenhagen. I've come to the town's gymnasium, a secondary school for those who are particularly academic. I'm here to talk to four pupils in their late teens about their lives in Kalundborg. Ali, Anna, Anna Kay, and Marie.
I'm Ali. So after gymnasium, I'll go to the university, I'm pretty sure, which will probably be in a bigger city like Copenhagen, because there aren't many options here. Want to move back to Kalundborg.
I'm Anna, and my plan is to have a gap year or two working, and then I'll go to university either in Copenhagen or Aarhus, and I have no plans of returning back.
I'm Anna Kay. I also want to take a gap year where I work, and after that I want to move on to some kind of university, and I probably won't return here.
Marie, I'd also like to take a few gap years just before I do uni, but I might return to Kalundborg.
You two mentioned not wanting to come back here. Why?
Now I think it's a bit too boring to settle down here.
Why is it boring?
I don't think there's a lot of stuff to do when you're young, and in my future, if I were to have kids, I wouldn't want them to stay in the same boring town that I grew up in.
I agree wholly. I've been told my whole life living here that it's a boring town. It doesn't have a lot of options.
So you want to live in a really boring town. Is that correct?
That's really correct, because I think, it's like I'm a quiet person. You know, it may be boring, but like I like it that way. And there's growing job opportunities, for example, with Novo Nordisk. So that's a good thing, too.
I actually really like being here, to be honest. And I mean, it is a small town and not a whole lot happens always, but this beautiful nature. I don't think I agree with saying it's boring.
We don't actually experience the boom that Novo is experiencing. We hear in the news and such that, oh, all these people are moving to Kalundborg, all this stuff is happening, but it's happening right outside of the town, so you don't actually get to experience it. The only people who are affected by it are the people who come to school from outside the town. So they have to sit in what we call the Novo queue, because all the people who are commuting through cars and such, they are stuck in this really big queue because the infrastructure is not made to have all these people commuting from Copenhagen and other cities and towns outside of Kalundborg.
It kind of sounds like there's a divide between Novo and the town in a way.
I think that's actually a good observation. I think the problem is that all these people are coming in during the daytime, but then they leave again in the afternoon.
And I'd actually disagree with Anna. Like, I don't think that Novo is that disconnected from the city. I mean, we kind of have a term called, like, Novo families, like, where a lot of people just work at Novo. Like, my parents only moved to Calabol because of Novo, but they ended up staying, and we've been here for my whole life, like, 19 or 20 years my parents have been here. So, to me, it is kind of integrated.
Does that make you feel a bit defensive, both of your parents working there?
Obviously, it changes my perspective, but in general, I hear mostly positive from everyone who's involved with Novo in the family.
So if we come back to your town in 5 to 10 years, do you think any of you will be here? And what kind of town will we be meeting?
I hope for a multicultural town. And if that is so, then I might consider moving back.
Boring no more.
Well, I don't think boring is always negative. I like boring, but but definitely not as boring as it is right now.
Well, I'll probably be here in like 10 years and I'll be expecting a more global town because, you know, already Novo Nordisk is expanding. It'll be more multicultural.
Yes. And you welcome that.
Yes, of course. That's a good part.
Whether the influx of workers and money into Kalundborg continues depends to a large extent on the future success of Novo Nordisk and its products like Wegovy. I asked the company for an interview to talk about their plans for bringing workers to the town, but they turned down my request. Meanwhile, the jury is still out on whether Kalundborg is going to genuinely become a boom town for all, and how many Danes and foreigners will take the plunge and live here, as well as work here.
If one thing was going to persuade you to stay here for life, what would that be? Would it be a girl?
We know the answer.
What's the answer?
Well, something that will introduce me more into the culture will be having a relationship with a Danish girl. And that will, of course, persuade me to stay longer.
Assignment was presented by me, Hedi Namin Aziz. The producer was Bob Howard. The editor was Penny Murphy. And the studio manager, Neil Churchill.